Up near the bust, you'll see that in the small green frame, a picture of Master, and you'll notice there's a piece of one of his robes and a single hair that we keep relic, a similar relic in the mandir by the healing prayer altar, and this is the one that we keep in the community. Feel free to pick it up and hold it. I mean, you'll have to take turns, obviously, but don't be shy about it. It's in that glass so that people can enjoy it. The disciple whom Babaji sent to Sri Yukteswar for training is, of course, for all of us the closest, for most of us, is the closest link to all of these masters, and we follow this progression that began so many hundreds of years ago, thousands of years ago with Krishna, and it all comes down to this life of Yogananda. Swamiji tells the most touching story of when after Master died and had that heart attack at the Biltmore, or stopped his heart, and the disciples, the women who had been with him for most of his life, were so difficult for them to accept that he was really gone. And he was laid out on the bed at Mount Washington. And Swamiji talks about Tara, who was a bit of his nemesis in SRF, but nonetheless was a dear and dedicated disciple of Master. And she was standing there staring at Master's face, just as I was describing with Sri Yukteswar, this body now with the soul gone and so different. And she was just staring at his face, and she made the remark, as he said, it took so many centuries to make that face, meaning all the years of sadhana and devotion and the effort to become God realized, and then all the years of service to mankind. The fourth and last stage played out in Master's life again and again and again, and all of that etched into his features. Swamiji tries to describe in conversations with Master, he sort of just takes a few pages and just tries to talk about what Master was like, how joyful he was, how full of life and energy and yet so powerful. Swamiji comments in conversations, which is really worth remembering, he said, so few male disciples have written about Master. Dr. Lewis has written a little bit, and Master's brother, whom Swami comments was not really a disciple in the same way. He said, because so much of the legacy of Master has come down through women, he said they neither saw nor tuned into the sheer force of Master's personality as much as Swami himself did, for many reasons. For one, he's made along the same lines. And for the other, he was born for Master's mission. And for the individual devotee, in their own private devotion, as many of the women who, as Swamiji said, were born to assist Master with his own incarnation, and they were born early in Master's life, and what they did is they took care of him, and they gave him energy, and they supported him, and they helped him. And just the sheer magnitude of having to live in the physical world. But Swamiji was born for the mission. Swamiji came late, and he just never saw Master the way the others saw him. He always saw Master as the personification of the teaching and of the work that he came to do and the souls that he wanted to save and the revolution he wanted to create. Not merely for his disciples, but for all of society. Master said that all of society will be and is being redirected by the advent of self-realization. And that's why all these masters have been so concentrated on this work. Because it isn't really, on one hand, it's both. It's about us, each of us individually, making our way toward God realization. And it's also this enormous divine responsibility for the planet. And Master just wanting to awaken and setting the world in a new motion. And for that, a great deal of power is required. And Swami just talked about that extraordinary force. He'd been a king, he'd been a general, so many incarnations, a king and a general. And just seizing the whole direction of a country or the planet and just pushing it with his willpower, awakening it, creating something that just wasn't there before. But now God wants it, and willing instruments will make it happen. And yet, Swami just spoke of the sweetness and the lustrousness of the eyes, the energy that just comes out of the eyes. And that's the golden sun man, just offering us what all of us have always wanted, which is to be loved personally, to be understood. Swamiji says, Master incarnates, Masters incarnate. Because we need something that is meaningful to us personally. It's not enough just to talk abstractly about divine things. It has to come to some kind of a focus that we in our tiny little human selves can feel. So he makes a beautiful face in a beautiful man. And we have pictures, and we have stories, and we can listen to his voice now. We can see him walk. There's a little film that SRF puts out, the first years of Master's mission, and there's bits and pieces of Master, and there's just one scene in it, in which he doesn't even speak. It's Easter Sunday, and he just walks out, and he just looks over the congregation on Easter morning. And he might be moving his lips, but there's no voice. But the love that comes out of his eyes, you feel all of those thousands and thousands of years of returning in so many forms long after his own realization was attained. And then just looking out as what Swamiji calls, Swami himself said recently, he said all people look the same to him now. He doesn't see men, he doesn't see women, he doesn't see age. He just sees egos needing to be overcome. And he didn't mean that in a negative sense. He just meant that we're all the same. Swami even commented, he said, dogs, animals, they're all just the same. They're all just egos needing to be overcome. But on the other side of it is the opposite side of the same truth, when Master said, if you could see yourselves as I see you, you would realize, he said, that you're nothing but light, nothing but beautiful light. And the power of the Master's mind and his belief, not more than his belief, his absolute knowing, when he looks out at us, that we're nothing but beautiful light. Think what that means to us, to have a friend like that. Oh, how we long for that, don't we? All of our little misunderstandings and sufferings with each other, what does it all come down to? Oh, if only you loved me the way I wanted to be loved. There's that wonderful chant, in this world, Mother, no one can love me. In this world, they do not know how to love me. In this world, Mother, no one can love me. In this world, they do not know how to love me. Where is their pure loving love? Where is their purely loving me? There my soul longs to be. There my soul longs to be. You see, Master answered that question. In the heart of the Guru, there is pure loving love, and there, oh, our souls long to be.